today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Be expectant. Be ready that if you're zapped out of here, great. Be ready. Because anything that comes your way, he is not going to ask you to live through or do anything without equipping you to do it. So just be ready. Walk with him every day. Talk with him every day so that no matter what comes your way, you're prepared whenever this happens.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Return Address. There are a lot of places in the scriptures where Jesus gave his return address. And we're going to look at a bunch of them today, as many as we can cover. And you say, well, what is his return address? Well, it's either earth, because he's coming back, or it's heaven, because that's where he went back to. But I can assure you, he's coming back. And one of the things that doesn't get talked about much in the Christian life, I don't think, we read these books, I don't know if you ever know that. Everybody heard the books Left Behind? Anybody ever heard those series about, you know, Jesus? Well, seriously, anybody heard of Left Behind? Okay, a few people have. Now, I don't know if I'm just getting old or what's happening to me. I know I am getting old. I'll have plenty of backup for that. But here's what happens to you, I think, at least happens to me. I'm more aware than ever that one of three, biblically, there are three things that can happen. Either I'm going to die, or Jesus is coming back, or a chariot of fire is going to come pick me up. Now, I'm not banking on the whole chariot thing, but there are at least one guy who never died. He just got, you know, beamed out of here somehow. He was gone. So I'm more aware than ever that I'm probably going to die. But yet I ought to have this anticipatory feeling, this thing of, you know what, I don't have to die. Because biblically, depending on how you interpret all these scriptures, he could just show up. He could just come back. Now, I don't know how much time you spend thinking about that, but the closer you get to those two things intersecting, either you're dying and getting out of here or his coming back, one is either exciting or very scary. Now, his return is a little scary if you're not ready. And some of you think, well, you know what, you people, you know, you're reading this Bible, you take it all too seriously, this stuff isn't going to happen. And so I don't forget this, let me say something to you. I believe with all of my heart that everything written in this book right here is going to happen. You say, well, you're putting too much stock in this thing. I got enough stuff I can read you that's already happened. It was prophesied. It was predetermined. It said, this is coming and it's happened. Why would I mistrust the rest of it? Now, you say, well, if that's true, this is scary stuff. Exactly. You need to think about this stuff. And the fact that you are going to die and spend eternity someplace, and you say, well, you're not going to mention hell, are you? You know, we're not, let's don't talk about hell because that scares people. And then they think, oh, they're going to hell, fire, brimstone. There is a real hell. There's a real heaven. It's a big deal. Forever is a long, 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 long time. You say, well, good for you. You believe all that. And you say, good for me because I'm a Christian now and I don't need to worry about that. I'm on cruise control till I get there. And that kind of mentality to me is kind of a to hell with everybody else mentality because I got my ticket. Sorry, you lose. Instead of, there ought to be a borderline panic inside of us for our family and friends that are not Christians. How do you not pray for people who don't know your Jesus? How do you not just every time you see them almost blow up with them and just overwhelmed with tears and look them in the eyes and say, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but just one more time, give me one more shot. Just listen, dude, this is serious stuff. You say, but if you do that, you'll scare them away. You know what? Who cares? Hell's going to be pretty scary. And I say these things, Lord, and I stand here and I think, you know what? Nobody wants to hear about hell. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to think nice thoughts. We just want to live. We just want to give a little money. You say a few encouraging words to help us get through our life. Don't go to the heavy stuff. Well, let's go to some of the heavy stuff. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read you some of the, basically, Jesus' return address, some of the script of this thing, some of the lines, some of the stuff that he said in his return address. And I'm probably going to read fast and try to cover as much of this ground as possible so you can see what he said. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Well, when is that going to happen? "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world." Now listen to verse 14. This is huge. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Why is it we spend money, we send people, people get called to all over the planet to go share the gospel? Because he ain't coming back till everybody's heard. You want to go home? Let's get the word out. One of the motivations for missions and for sending money and people and resources to all these places, remote places in the world, is so we can get out of here and take as many people with us as we can. People say, "Well, what about all the people in the world who have never heard, these people in remote areas?" It's not like God doesn't know they're there. He's trying to mobilize us to get to them. Keep reading. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out. Or 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." Now you say, well, but you hear these things through the years, through the centuries even. Somebody says, "Oh, the Christ, he's here and he's in some eastern country, or he's in, you know, some southern state in the United States." You know, don't go buying all this stuff. You want to know when the Christ is here? Look at verse 27. "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars," what does it take for the moon not to give its light? Now think about this. I don't want to spend too much time on this. What has to happen for the moon not to give its light? No sun. And people say, "Well, you're crazy people. You can't get rid of the sun." You're dealing with a God who made the sun. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he's told you right here what he's going to do. There's a part of me that wants to die and get the heck out of here. Because when this goes down, it will be scary stuff. And the people who read it and didn't believe it, or who read it marginally and kind of hanging on, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything the book says was going to happen starts happening. This is a scary time to be alive. And I don't know if I'm going to be here. I don't know if my kids are going to be here. You better be ready. You say, "Well, that ain't going to happen in our lifetime." "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When Jesus shows up, you'll know it. "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Our God is an awesome God, and you better not jack with him. Keep reading. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so you say, well, what's it going to be like? How will we know this? As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, what were they doing? The same thing we're doing now. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Nothing's going to happen. You couldn't have warned the people in Noah's day anymore. You can warn them today. It ain't happening. Build your stupid boat. Believe all your nonsense. It isn't happening. It's foolishness. You've built a boat in the middle of a continent. You just rule out the rain. The sky's opening up. And God doing whatever he plans to do. I'm not saying anything's wrong with marrying and giving in marriage. It's just they were going on like was nothing up. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Go to John chapter 14. Another part of Jesus' return address. He addressed these things. He talked to his followers about these things. He left this information for us. The issue of dying comes up in John chapter 14 and him leaving and this whole process. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or it can be translated dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I'll be back. I'm coming to get you. You know, what better person than building a house and a carpenter? I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And most people, maybe you haven't ever heard this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And then down in verse 28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. You know what? I don't think they believed any of this. I think they kind of did, but they didn't believe he was going to be raised from the dead because they're all sitting around moping and crying and run off. And even the women who went to the tomb were not there to see the empty tomb. They had a bunch of bottles of stuff to wrap him up. They went looking for a body. So you say, well, so they didn't believe it really either. Well, they kind of did, and then they kind of believed it more after it started happening, and that's going to happen to you. You say, well, yeah, I believe all this, but man, I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to keep the lights on. I got to figure out if my wife's cheating on me or not. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus coming back. I got problems. Somehow thinking about these things has a way of minimizing your own problems. Acts chapter 1. Now look what is said when he's leaving. He's come to earth born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, and now he's been on the planet for weeks, appearing, disappearing, and then for, you know, once, boom, he's out of here. So now in Acts chapter 1, look at verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And white's a really big color in heaven, so if you're wondering, it's going to be a lot of people in white. It's just big there. Two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing at? What are you looking at? This same Jesus, and what I love is that little phrase, this same Jesus, the one you saw go up, seated at the right hand of the Father, is the same one that's coming back. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's coming back the same way. He's just going to come down. It'll be a bigger, more trumpets and stuff, but you'll know when he comes, and he's just coming back. This is not complicated stuff for God. He'll just show up and everybody on the planet will know it. And it'll be too late for some people. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this specifically, people had some questions about dying here. And he gives some explanation. Now, some of you, the heavy-duty theologians, say, well, aren't you going to explain when he comes back and that it's a pre-tribulation, right? Or is it mid-tribulation, or is it post-trib? Or, and by the way, all these things we could get into at some point. You know, there's 7 years of tribulation. Read the book of Revelation. It'll explain a lot of this stuff. Whether you understand it after you've read it, I don't know. It's a mystery, okay? There's the pan theory, and what that basically means is they don't know. They just believe it'll all pan out in the end. And I kind of, you know. Whether he comes back before the tribulation, 3.5 years into the tribulation, where it is. Now listen closely to this, because you can get in conversations and you get completely sidetracked. Here's my point on this simply. I can't prove any of them. I can give you scriptures. I have people I've known in my life who believe each of these strongly convicted by scripture. No, no, we're going to get raptured. And the word rapture, I'll show you in a minute where that they get that out of. It's right here in this passage we're about to read in 1 Thessalonians 4, this caught up word. Either we're going to be raptured, taken out of here before the tribulation, some in the middle of tribulation, whatever it is. I can't prove any of it. You know what? Be ready. Be expectant. Be ready that if you're zapped out of here, great. If you're here for half the tribulation or the whole, be ready. Because anything that comes your way, he is not going to ask you to live through or do anything without equipping you to do it. So just be ready. Walk with him every day. Talk with him every day so that no matter what comes your way, you're prepared whenever this happens. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and following. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or the people who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He was trying to explain to them what would happen. If I went out to the cemetery where my mother is buried today, and I stood by her grave, and Jesus came back today, I would have to step back and let Mama go first. That's what it said. And once all those graves are emptied, then I jump, you know, we'd get taken up, but they get to go first. They're out of there. I won't be around for the explanation, but I would love to see the newscasters out there with their little microphones explaining what happened in the cemeteries and how random graves with the little crosses on them are all empty, or, you know, not saying you get a cross on your grave, your home. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, oh, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He's not coming, you idiots, scoffers. It ain't going to happen. You're sitting around waiting for some eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. You crazy religious people. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. And look at the motivation for the delay. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what takes him so long? He's waiting for us to get it. This deal cost God his only son's life. Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to get people eternal life, abundant life, into heaven forever with God. And he waits and waits and says, okay, let's give it a little more time. And only the Father knows when it's done.
Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. And the explanation, the answer's right there. So you think, well, 2,000 years has gone by since Jesus left. When's he coming back? Well, he's only been gone a couple days. According to that, 1,000 years is a day. A day is 1,000 years. What's your hurry? There's still people to be reached. What's so wacky about all this is Jesus died 2,000 years ago for people who haven't even been born yet. Think about it. They're not even born yet. They're not even alive yet. But they're going to need his death, his blood, his burial, his resurrection to get into heaven. And they're not even on the planet yet. Revelation chapter 1. Listen to this. Gosh, this is great stuff. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. And look what it says to us. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. We're blessed just reading this stuff. That's why I like reading it, because you're blessed hearing it. And it reminds us to hold, and after going a little farther, to hold. And when the temptations and distractions come, to hold and to be patient and to persevere and wait either till we see him or he comes after us. And then look down the next few verses. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. The first chapter of Revelation talks about his return, and then look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. It says this, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And that's Jesus saying that. And then he says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Part of our problem with caring about his return address or that he's coming back at all is we really don't need him. We got life's too good. We don't have any big problems. Got a job, got a family, got a trip to take, got some stuff to buy. But see, if you're on the rest of this planet, maybe in a cell someplace in the middle of China somewhere, for no other reason but that you would not deny your Jesus, then you sit there in your cell, and one of your prayers every day, because you won't take your life, one of your prayers every day is probably, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You think, well, they just want to get out. Yeah, you would too. And then I walk through even this congregation, and I walk through this city, and I meet people with physical problems, with massive addiction problems, with challenges in their family, whatever it is. And you know people who are under lots of pressure and lots of pain and lots of problems and suffering and challenge, those are the people that pray like mad. And when you talk to them, they think of heaven. They think of being with Jesus. They want out. And they're willing to serve while they're here, but heaven will be a sweet place, a sweet thing. And so people figure out, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your pain, he made a return address, and he's got a return address. And there is hope.
to sing about, to pray about, and to share about with people around us.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.